You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. I had been struggling as to whether or not I would stick to the plan of the message from Ephesians. And then I decided, no, I'll go to the Old Testament, go to 1 Samuel, and I'll preach about praising God through the storm. And then I thought, you know what, that's probably not exactly what we need to hear. And I struggled with it for a little bit, but God had me settle on something different, and I want to share it with you. It comes from Psalm 13, and I've got my notes here, along with my portable Bible. And in Psalm 13, David writes, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" Kind of feel that way when the power's out, don't we? "How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Got to thinking about that psalm. It's the only psalm in the Bible that begins with questions, not just one question, but a series of five questions. What does he ask? David asks, "How long, O Lord?" He asks, "Will you forget me forever?" Sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? "How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" So as I read those questions, I started thinking about our situation. It's been a week, hasn't it? And you heard that saying, you know, I spent a year there one day. Well, it kind of feels like that when we're struggling, when we're in the midst of struggle. We've all been playing like we're on an episode of Little House on the Prairie. They didn't know what they were missing, did they?
We don't like it there.
We're not settlers in the frontier. We're used to some of the creature comforts anyway. And the thing about storms is, although the physical storm came upon us and wreaked havoc, it's the storms in the aftermath that go on internally that we're all struggling with. It's not so much the lack of air conditioning, it's the lack of peace as we struggle with all the things that are so intensified by the physical torment, and yeah, it's torment, of having to function in a climate that we're just not used to these days. And so sometimes we find, like David, we find ourselves living in the agony of what can appear to be the silence of God. And it's okay to admit, you may have asked yourself, why does my neighbor down the road have power, God? And I don't. Was it me or something I said, or did I fail to do something? God, I don't know. We come before God, and all we seem to have are these unanswered questions, just like David when he writes this psalm. It's important that we as the church acknowledge this reality and the depth of these experiences that we're going through. Yeah, it's okay to have these questions. In our struggle, it's okay to look up at God and say, why are we enduring this? Why did we have to go through this? When we look at the Psalms, one of the main ways that the Psalms serve us is they are a means of grace that God has given us in this wonderful book that's smack dab in the heart of the Bible, the Word of God. It's right in the middle. If you ever wonder where Psalms are, take your Bible and just open it right smack dab in the middle, and you'll be right in the middle of Psalms. That's not an accident. That's by design. God wants you to be able to go to His promises and also go to the laments, the struggles of His people, and see where God has been and how faithful He has been to His people, so that when we have these times of struggle, we can look back. And when we say, God, where are you? We can see that God has a faithful track record. And He's not going to let us down now either. So it says, sometimes our prayers are not answered. I got to thinking about that as I wrote that note down. They're not answered in ways that we can understand or see. Some of our prayers go unanswered for a long time, and we have no idea what God is doing. But we learn to lean into Him anyway, and we experience the joy of closeness with God as we wait. Are you experiencing that?
Yeah.
I can see it on your, believe it or not, your countenance is peaceful. As some of the last people without electricity on planet Earth right now, or at least planet Texas, you still have this joy about you. There's a lesson in Psalm 13. It's never to forget in our times of darkness, literal and spiritual, that God is revealed to us in times of light. And He reveals Himself in times of light to give us hope in the darkness. It's what the psalmist called God's unfailing love in verse 5 of this psalm. In the midst of unanswered questions, the psalmist is declaring that my heart rejoices in your salvation. No matter how our circumstances are, and by the way, our circumstances don't define who we are. Our circumstances don't define whether we're in God's favor or not. It has nothing to do with it. We can rejoice in the salvation that God brings through Jesus the Son. And so the psalmist in verse 5 there, or rather verse 6, chooses to sing to the Lord. We're going to sing the doxology here in a little bit. Melody said she'd lead us. Just now, I heard her. But the psalmist is going to choose to sing to the Lord, just like we're going to choose to sing to the Lord, not because of the circumstance we're in, but because of His track record of faithfulness in our lives.
Amen.
See, our circumstances won't change as we sing the song, unless by some miracle of God the power comes on. Just like the psalmist here, as he sings to God, his inner emotional state, the turmoil that he's in, the reason he's lamenting and asking these questions in the first place, those things haven't changed. Those prayers haven't been answered yet. But what the psalmist is doing here is he's remembering all the times that God has shown up in his life, and he's trusting God. that God will continue in that way going forward, now and in the future. See, what's remarkable about David's psalm here is he's anticipating something that you and I are fully aware of, that he was not. And that God's promise to send his salvation was coming. You and I know him as Jesus. David didn't know him by name. He just knew that the promise was there. We think about our suffering and then we think about how Christ suffered, and suddenly our suffering is not so great. So here's the thing. We're the church. We're sitting here on the front porch outside our sanctuary, and our circumstances have not diminished our joy. It hasn't diminished our worship. In fact, I would venture to say that of all the worship services you attend this year, this will be one of the ones you remember.
Very true.
Remember the time when
we sat outside.
Barrel blew through Shepherd and knocked everything down, but the church was still standing, and I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the church, the people. Still worshiping God, still praising his holy name. See, we have to cultivate in these times memories of his faithfulness. Because there will be times in the future. This is not the last storm, Shepherd will see. Both physical weather or inner struggle and turmoil. Christ's obedience to go to the cross was made possible through holy memories. You think Jesus remembered the Psalms? He absolutely did. As a matter of fact, he quotes the Psalms from the cross. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? That was one of the things, the holy memory of the Psalms that got him through to the grave, to overcoming sin and death, and to the resurrection. And our memory of God's faithfulness is going to get us through this just as sure as the sun will come up tomorrow. So, we might have questions for God this morning. And they're legit. Our laments, God wants to hear. Why? Because we're lamenting to the only one who can affect change. And that honors God. And so God allows us, wants us to bring questions to him. And he wants us to know this morning that he's here. He remains on his throne. He's counting on you as ministers of the faith to carry not only you and your families, but this community through. I was thinking as Ronnie rang the bell, I've never heard it peal so loudly as standing here on this porch.
Yep.
That's a message to this community that I think we underestimate the importance of ringing that bell every Sunday morning. Because it lets people know, and I guarantee you they can hear it over at our Baptist neighbors, that the church is open. And I'm not talking about the building. We're here and we are doing the work of the ministry. And you are living into, walking into every day your calling as ministers of the faith just as sure as I'm standing here. And I can't tell you how proud that makes me of all of you. Ministers of the faith, each and every one of you, standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And so to God be the glory, and thanks to all of you for standing in the faith. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.